good afternoon, and welcome to the first part of a multi-part series of Raw and Ballsy Exposed. Joining me is John Briggs. In this series, we're going to be discussing and dissecting his upcoming book, Raw and Ballsy. John is the founder of Inspire Success Academy of Life. So, John, tell us, what is Raw and Ballsy all about?
Okay, well, Raw and Ballsy is a compilation of experiences that I've had personally, and also I'm using it, the book that is, to help other people overcome their fears and obstacles on why they don't achieve things that they want to achieve and how to do it. Because most people, they have an idea, they have a thought, it might be a business, or it might be, I don't know, they might want to invent something, whatever it is, to create something, they can have it in their head. And as soon as it arrives in their head, it disappears because a second voice comes in their head probably and says, you can't do that. That's a stupid idea. Or they just forget about it and it never happens. Other people, let's say, for example, Richard Branson, who's one of my favorites, he has an idea. He makes it real. He turns it into something solid, tangible. He then makes it into success. And then he makes it into massive international success because he has no fear of what might go wrong. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
It just, and if it does go wrong, so what? Does it matter? No. No, it doesn't. He just does something else. So that's what this book's all about.
Did you want to give us a rundown on what some of the topics you do cover? Is there any things that are more important than others? Or
look, they're all important. That's the thing. There isn't anything more important than anything else. Everything's important. So I've just broken them into 12 chapters. And the first one is, what's stopping you? It's a question that most people don't ask themselves. They talk themselves out of something before they get to that point. They need someone else to say to them, well, what's stopping you from doing it? So we're covering that. We've got goal setting or target setting. And that is really important because you can't hit a target you can't see.
Yep.
You've got to have the target there. And you've got to have something to aim for. You've got to have a time frame, which creates a deadline, which creates a sense of urgency. So you've got to have a goal and a deadline. Because if you don't have a deadline, it never gets done. Because all you do then is procrastinate.
Yep.
And that's what most people do. They just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and it never happens. And then they get what we call excuse-itis, where, you know, oh, I'm too tired, it's too hot, too busy, it costs too much to set up. Instead of thinking, well, what do I need to do this? What can I do to make this successful?
Yep.
What happens then is, by asking yourself that question, you open up part of your brain, which then allows ideas to flood in.
Yep.
So you've asked the question, what can I do? Well, okay, I probably need to do a bit of research on the maybe what market I'm trying to sell this product or idea to.
Yep.
I might need to have a website and then a Facebook page, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And then you've got to work out the price of what you're selling, if it is a business, that is.
Yep.
You know, it could be to build a house. I don't know. It could be anything. To build a log cabin in the woods. Whatever you want. It could be whatever you want.
Yep.
Yeah, you just, by asking yourself that question, what do I need to do? It opens up the brain to all the ideas that come flooding in. Psychological stamina is another chapter. I liken this to a game. Life is a bit of a game. You even hear the expression game changer. That was a game changer for me. So life is a game. And being a sports fanatic, it's easy for me to translate the two things over to do something similar. So, because if you just plod along through life with no goals, nothing to aim for, is it very exciting? Is it fun?
No,
it's not. It's bloody boring. So to have these goals and striving to achieve things is exciting.
Yeah,
it's a buzz. It gets you going. So it is a game. You do need psychological stamina, because without the stamina, you give in straight away. It's a bit like a baby learning to walk. You know, I mean, when a baby's learning to walk and it does its first two steps, what happens then?
Falls over.
Does the parents say to the baby, oh, you stupid baby, you crap?
No. Get back up and try again.
Thank you very much. Exactly right. And that's what we should all do when we try something. We should get it back up and try again until it succeeds. So failure is a word which people have in their life.
Yep.
Look, depends how you see it. I don't see failure as a fail. I see it as a learn.
Yep.
Just like the baby. It learns how to walk. So it doesn't have a fear of failure because the baby knows it can do this. The baby sees everyone else doing it. So therefore, well, why can't I do it? What's stopping the baby? What's stopping? See how it all links in?
Yep. So I suppose that fear is something we learn as we grow up, I suppose, because obviously when we're a baby, we don't know fear. We just get
absolutely.
Up and try it again. But then as we grow older, we tend to become more cautious and we learn that fear and we learn to be scared of things.
That's
almost,
right.
And that's what stops us from taking that step and
indeed.
Committing to something.
And that's known as fear of failure.
Yep.
So fear, well, what does that mean? Anthony Robbins, a author of a lot of books, which I base my life on to a certain degree, says fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
I like that. And I think it is. It is. It's false evidence because fear is something which it means what might happen in the future.
Yeah.
Because you can't be scared of something that's happened in the past. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's in the past. You can't. Well, you can only be scared of what happens in the future. Well, is the future there yet?
No.
So it's not real?
No, it doesn't
exist. So it doesn't exist. So it's false evidence appearing real.
Yep.
So in my mind, the word fear does not exist. It doesn't exist. It's a stupid word. It's like worry.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. What do we worry about? The past?
No.
No. Do you worry about the present?
No.
No, because you take action in the present.
Yeah.
You can only worry about the future.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, so it doesn't exist. And so how many times do people actually say, oh, crikey, I don't even know what I was worried about?
All the time.
All the time, that's right. Yeah, so this fear thing, it just stops people from even trying. So for me, failure is not trying.
Yeah.
Failure is not having a go and it not working.
Yeah.
Yet. That word yet is really important because it means that you try again.
Yeah.
And if you keep doing the same thing and hoping that it succeeds, I think Einstein said that's the definition of insanity. Trying the same thing over and over again and expecting it to work when it's already proven that it doesn't. So what do you need? If I'm playing you at tennis and you beat me and I try the same thing, what's the likely outcome?
The same thing's going to happen.
The same thing's going to happen. So what am I going to do?
Try something different.
Try something different. I'm going to work out a strategy. Work on your weaknesses, my strengths, and a strategy of how to win the match. Now, relating life back to a game, that's another principle. It's the same thing. How this book all interlinks. Each chapter moves into the other one, and you can go backwards and link them back to each other that way as well. So we cover fear of failure.
Yep.
Visualization is another chapter. Visualization is a fantastic tool to use in lots of different things.
Yep.
And when we did the podcast for Fitness Strip Bear, I think I talked about it with that too.
Yep.
And you can do this in life. It's the same thing. To visualize something, a well-formed outcome that you want from something. It could be anything. It could be a business meeting. It could be a game of football, boxing match, tennis. It could be golf. It could be a sales meeting that you're having and expecting and hoping. Or not hoping, sorry, but knowing what the outcome's going to be because you've visualized it in advance. You visualize both parties or how many ever parties there are all agreeing, smiling and liking the product, saying, yes, I want to buy this, getting excited.
Yeah.
Because they feel that they're coming off better than the salesperson. So to visualize all of that, it's weird how it happens. And being a cricketer, Mitch, you would know if you visualize a shot, a crushing drive going through the covers for four, and you can see it in high definition on your imaginary TV set, then already how does it feel? If you're even just imagining it.
It feels like I've done it.
You just did it then, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, you did.
Yep.
You saw it out the middle of the bat.
Saw it tripling over the boundary for four.
That's right, exactly. And the crowd going berserk because you brought up your 100 with it.
And I was also playing at the MCG.
So that's right, exactly. Yes, as we all have. So, in our minds. So, then what actually happens is that your brain starts to form a pattern which your body follows.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff, isn't it? So your body then follows the pathway which your brain has created, which is already success. You can link this back to goal setting. You can link this back to what's stopping you. You can link this back to the game. And you can link it back to fear of failure.
Yeah.
All this links in together. So negative attracts negative. Positive attracts positive. So if you are in a negative mindset, then do you think you're going to be attracting positive people?
No, definitely not.
No, really? You're going to be going, Jesus Christ, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
So if you are a positive person, then obviously you're going to start attracting people around you more because they like what you're saying. They want to be a bit like you. People want what they lack in life.
Yep.
So if they lack positivity and you're a positive person, they will come to you.
Yep.
And also, by the way, do you reckon you can be successful if you're negative?
No, probably not. Unless you're very, very lucky, that would be the
That's
only.
Luck. That's different. That's winning the lottery.
And that's going to run out eventually.
Of course, because you don't know how you did it. There's no structure on how to get there. So next chapter, motivation. It's a huge subject. I think that says it all. I don't need to go into that right now.
Yep.
Next one is mental muscle. So your brain is a muscle, just like building a bicep or a pectoralis major doing bench presses. Your brain's the same. So to empty out all of the rubbish, it's like a bin. You know, if your brain is like a bin and it's full of rubbish,
yeah,
and then you keep putting more negative crap on top of that, it's going to overflow with rubbish.
Yeah.
So you need to empty it out and replace it with positive, good stuff.
Yeah.
That way, only positive, good stuff can come out.
Yeah.
So that's really important. Now, I've also got a chapter here on, this sounds a bit weird, but this is, bear with me. Childlike spontaneity.
Yep.
Kids from about the age of 1 to 7, they're in their own world. We've all been there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And we can do anything, can't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We play, we invent, we create, we're spontaneous, we're off the cuff. Nobody says you can't do that.
Yep.
They don't have another inner voice in their brain saying that's a stupid idea.
Yep.
They just do it. So then something happens around about the age of 8. They start questioning that idea. And they start saying, I don't know, that's a bit silly.
Yeah.
You know, and even my 8-year-old son has changed now.
Yeah.
If I put on my superhero outfit, which I often do and run around the house, he's there now saying, oh, Dad. Whereas only a year ago, he'd have got his cape on as well. And we'd both be taking on the world.
Yeah.
So what happens around the age of 8, I think it's schools. Yep. And I think the kid feels a need to conform.
Yeah.
And while school is obviously very important, it has its downsides, and I think this is one of them.
Yeah.
And also parents have a different effect on kids at that age too. When the kid before could get away with things, now they're expected to not.
Yeah.
You know, parents might start saying things like, well, you should really start to be more responsible and things like this.
Yeah.
So being spontaneous as an adult, not childish, but childlike, also fires off creative parts of your brain. Because as soon as that stops with the kid, unless they're naturally arty,
yep,
the childlike stuff stops, which means that the creativity and the spontaneity stops.
Yep.
So that's really important as well.
Well, one of the most successful companies in the history of the world is Walt Disney.
Yes,
Look at how that company got to where it was. It was from, a lot of it stemmed from Walt following around younger kids. And no, that sounded a bit weird, but...
No, using
their ideas, it was his children that wanted to go and play at the parks and things. That's what made him to come up with the ideas of creating this place where there wasn't that judgment, so he could create the Disneylands and the Disney Worlds, and it was this.
And what an amazing thing he's done there. And you're right, that word judgment is so important, because there is no judgment there. And the thing is, in my book, I've got this part of the book talking about self-one and self-two. Or what's known as the inner critic. And that is judgment. And that judgment often says, that was rubbish, or you're rubbish, or you can't do that. Or judgment from other people. So some people are scared of what other people might think. And they, oh, that's a stupid idea, that'll never work. Now, if everybody thought that, would there be a single business in the world?
No, no one would ever start any business. No one would come up with any new ideas things.
And exactly right.
You probably wouldn't have any music, any movies, any anything.
Absolutely
really.
Right. You're dead right. So why is it that some people can do these things? Other people, I won't say can't, don't. So in other words, it isn't can do, it's do. Why do people do these things and other people don't? Well, there's lots of reasons why people don't. And that's what the whole book covers. So then we've got create your own lifestyle, and that's something you can do that, but you've got to have a plan. You've got to make the right decisions. So we spend a lot of our time at work in our life, okay, from the age of 16 in some cases to 60 or 70 sometimes as well. Personally, I don't have a plan to retire. So that's because I love what I do, because I've created my lifestyle with a career that I love.
Yep.
I don't go to work. I don't go to play. But my work doesn't feel like work.
Yep.
Because I absolutely love it. Because I've created it that way. And, you know, yes, I get people fit for a living. That isn't all I do. I motivate. And there's psychology involved. And there's a lot of fun in the sessions because I make it that way.
Yep.
So how could I not love that? I'm in control of that situation. I'm in control of everything to do with my business. But it takes a certain kind of person, I suppose, or just the right decisions and not listen to people who say it's going to fail. When I set up my first business in a carport, training people to get them fit, the amount of people who said behind my back, oh, what's Brinsy doing? It's going to fail, that is. Loads of people said it. And then when it started being successful, other people would say things like, including my father, by the way, oh, it's all right when you're riding the crest of a wave, son. Let's see what happens when the going gets tough. Well, 21 years later, we've been through a recession. We're in the middle of a coronavirus. I'm actually busier now than before. I've written a book. I'm setting up another business called the Inspire Success Academy of Life, which is what this podcast is all about as well. So why is it that some people can do that? It's because they're programming their mind for success, no matter what. You've got to believe that it's going to work. Because if you don't believe it's going to work, it won't work. You might as well turn off your high definition TV set and walk away.
Yeah.
And be part of the millions who decided to fail. Because I think success is a decision.
Yeah.
I think the way you think is a decision. To a large degree, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but I don't care. I think depression, not clinical depression, but I think the word depression is thrown around way too loosely these days. I don't think people are actually depressed when they say they are.
Yep.
They may be feeling low, but I don't believe they're depressed. So when they're like that, I believe that's a decision because they're focusing on a big vat of shit when they don't have to. It stinks, but because they feel that's what they deserve, that's where they're sitting in this big vat of shit. They can get out. There's a rope ladder dangling with the person at the top saying, come on, climb up this. But no.
Then they
sit in the shit.
Yep.
Because it stinks and that's what they feel they deserve. No, it's dark and miserable here. That's how I'm feeling right now. And that's what they do. So, and then lastly, we've got a chapter on exceptional people. And this is what we're trying to create. We're trying to create more people to become successful and then exceptional. And again, this comes about from brick by brick, creating the new you. I'm not saying you paper over cracks or put makeup on, as Obama said about another female politician in America. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in putting makeup on, thank God. But what I'm more interested in is recreating yourself. And you can do it. You can definitely do it. But you need to do all the things in this book and you'll be fine. Okay. So they're the 12 chapters, and over the next few podcasts, we're going to go into more detail. So we've got a few minutes left of this session, haven't we, Mitch?
Yep.
I'll just quickly talk about what we call the mental foundation. So you can't build a house with no foundations. So just as you can't build yourself on quicksand, everything you do in life is up to you. You are free to choose your actions and, more importantly, your non-actions.
Yep.
So your life today is the total of your choices. So you need to put footings in, you need to get a foundation there, you need to get some bricks, you need to get the material to start with, and then you need some great cement. And then, of course, because we don't come with an instruction manual on how to succeed, you've got to create your own. So we have an amazing brain with an amazing complexities in there which are endless, and our subconscious mind does most of the work. So we need to start to let that subconscious mind create what we want to create. And like I said earlier, you've got to empty out the rubbish. So you need to remove the influences and obstacles that have been interfering with your success and happiness and progress. We've all got natural ability. We've all got massive potential. It's just a case of not listening and not conforming to the norm.
Yep.
So you don't have to do what other people want you to do. So how can you control your life? Visualization, like I mentioned earlier. Affirmations, positive affirmations, of course. Positive self-talk, instead of just, I can do this, I can do this, a better question to ask yourself is, how can I do this? What do I need to do?
Yep.
And then your brain comes out with the answers. you can act the part to a point. Sort of fakey, maybe. I don't really agree with that. But if you dress accordingly, if you want to be a businessman, you dress like a businessman.
Yep.
Then you feel like you're part of it. Okay? So feeding the mind with as much positivity as you can. Read as many positive books as you can, or success stories. I love success stories of successful sports people, businessmen, whatever. And they all tell a very, very familiar tale. But it's filling your brain with positivity. Then what happens is you start to make these people into role models. And you start, they're only people, the same as you and I.
Yep.
They just decided to make it work. So what we could do for a bit of a task here for this part of the podcast is select one positive habit pattern that you would like to develop. Okay, write down how it feels to be this way, this positive new version of you. And what will it feel like when you've achieved the goal that you want to achieve? So you need to write down a goal as well, just a small goal. And that isn't a to-do list. It's different. A goal is something that you want to achieve, which you haven't done yet. It might be to start a small business or a course or whatever it might be. And you've set the wheels in motion. So what's it going to be like when you succeed? How is it going to feel? Write this stuff down. Because then what actually happens is you've created your own future in advance. You're already sort of there, but you're not there yet, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Okay? You need to have goals and dreams. I don't really like the word hopes because that's a bit like crossing your fingers.
Yep.
And hoping it all works out. You need to create some kind of action, actually. So relying on luck isn't exactly what you want to be doing. You need to have a go and get it mentality. And that's purely up to you. Things don't just come to you. You've got to go out and get it. I was only talking to a client about that this morning. So goals are dreams with deadlines. So a dream is okay. It's good to have a dream and hope that it works. At least that's better than hoping it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But you've really got to get rid of the dream and make it into a goal and put a deadline there. Because like I said earlier, the deadline creates a sense of urgency and it makes you do it. So write down your goals every day. I don't mean once a year and leave it on the fridge. Write them down because something happens when you write things down. Things start to crystallize and they actually start to work. It's really quite weird how that works out. But it does. Of course, when you write them down every single day, your brain starts to go, crikey, what do I need to do this?
Yeah.
Instead of it all slipping away. So you got to work out what you need to do. It's exciting, but you need to have guts, balls, and strength. You've got to find out how to make your ideas work. So, because otherwise, nothing happens. A lot of people get a good idea and they don't act on it. So they're back to good old excuse-itis again.
Yeah.
Because an idea is only a thought. A thought is nothing until you make it tangible. And then by making it tangible, you've created something. And now I've created a bit of a phrase here. So you're actually creating some kind of action. Now, if you act on something, you are creating an action. So if you, it's a bit corny here, Mitch, if you put the I in the middle of act on, what do you get?
Action.
You do get action. I invented that. So...
So without the eye, you're not going to get any action.
That's right, exactly. So what's stopping you? Well, like I said earlier, when we're kids at school, we are creative, we're spontaneous, you know, and then we grow up and start to create this weird negative mentality. And I think that's because of a few things, like I said, schools, parents, role models, boring structure, the structure of life.
Yeah.
Instead of the freedom of expression, which comes with creativity. And like I said earlier, if you are a creative mindset person who's an artist or whatever, then they'll probably always have that. But most people are more creative than they think. Like I said, just look at the schoolyard and the kids. They're all creative.
Yep.
So what changes there? I know with me, as an example, I never grew up.
Yep.
I'm 53, going on 3.
Is that why people call you Peter Pan?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. I'm still a superhero. I'm a double superhero. Captain Trimtum and Captain Inspiration. How many people do you know who are two superheroes, Mitch? Peter Parker is only one. Exactly.
Liam Hemsworth, is it? Thor and...
He's only Thor.
That's all then.
Exactly. So there aren't... Two, and he's an actor.
Yeah.
So that's not true.
So does that mean he acts
on it? Yeah, very good. But anyway, what's stopping you? Richard Branson is a classic example. I think he's fantastic, right? He failed at school. He's dyslexic.
Yeah.
Didn't get his qualifications. He had an attitude of, oh, well, it'll all work out for me. The teachers couldn't work out why he was so lazy.
Yeah.
But he had a give it a go attitude. He started selling records from the back of his car. And he also made a magazine called Student Magazine to sell to students at universities.
Yeah.
So what made this entrepreneurial mindset? Who knows? But he had parents who said, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Well, we all know what happened to Richard Branson. He's a massive success, a multi-millionaire, billionaire. He owns his own island.
Yeah.
Necker Island. Virgin Records became massive all over the world. Virgin Airlines, he decided to set up an airline because he got stranded on an island and thought, how the hell am I going to get out of here? That's how he got the idea to set up his own airline.
Yep.
How many people would have said, phew, that's a bit of a stretch? Nearly all of them. What about Virgin Cola? That's worked.
Yep.
And who is he competing with? Coca-Cola, who are enormous.
Yep.
What about Virgin Mobile Phones? You know, it's remarkable what he's done. What about J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter?
Yep.
It's just a fantasy, wasn't it?
Yep.
I think she made that successful.
She acted on it. That's put it down on paper.
Absolutely right. How many people might have a story in their brain which they've never put down on paper? I'd say millions.
Most people, I'd say.
I'd say so, yeah. And they wouldn't even think to make it into a book.
Yep.
I don't think she realised how amazing it was going to be. I don't know. But it is. It's just her mind is full of creativity and fantastic.
And I don't doubt for a second that probably the first few people she told that story to probably said she was crazy.
Yeah,
you can't
probably.
Make a story about that. Absolutely. That's not going to work.
And you go throughout history and you see lots of people like this. Edison and the light bulb.
Yep.
Maybe 10,000 attempts. I can't remember now exactly.
Yep.
But he didn't give in.
Yep.
It wasn't a case of if, it was a case of when it's going to work.
Yep.
Quite remarkable. You know, what about Columbus? Apart from the conspiracy theorists who still say that the world is flat.
Yep.
So everybody thought he was bonkers.
Yeah.
And he sailed around the world when he probably would have been eaten by cannibals.
Yeah.
Captain Cook, yes, he was eventually eaten by cannibals, but he also was an amazing person who did things which everybody said you can't do, okay? So we all can do, we just don't do. You've got to get up and have a go. What's stopping you? So we've just come to the second chapter, Mitch, on goal setting and visualization. Do you want to do that for next time?
Yeah, I think we'll save that one to kick off the next part.
And to round up then for today.
Yep.
What questions have you got?
What made you come up with the idea? Because these are obviously things you've all you've learned over your time of being in creating successful businesses and doing that. So what gave you the idea to put it into a book form?
I actually thought of the idea to write a book 20 years ago.
Yep.
And it was going to be a bit like this.
Yep.
But I hadn't earned the right to do it.
Yep.
I hadn't had the right amount of experience.
Yep.
So therefore, how could I write a book on it? Time has come now. I've experienced enough to do it and had lots of success stories with training people and also the life coaching and whatever and helping people change their lives that it's time.
Yep.
And I just want to make an impact and help people improve their life and make them succeed, because I get a kick out of that.
Yep.
You know, I don't care. I don't care if I don't get paid for that. It doesn't bother me. I just want to see more successful people.
Yep.
Because the more successful people there are in the world, the happier people are, the greater the economy is, generally worldwide as well, and the more creativity we've got. Like you said earlier, there'd be no music.
Yeah.
What a sad situation that would be, eh? There'd be no Disneys. Okay, there wouldn't even never be another Disney, but, you know, there'd be no similar things to him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there'd be no theme parks.
Yeah.
Every sports game in the world was invented.
Yeah.
Your favourite game, AFL, was a creation.
Yeah.
It was actually a copy of Ireland's Gaelic football, but that's another story.
It was an improvement. That's probably a better way to put it.
So, soccer was a creation.
Yep.
Rugby was a creation, actually copied from soccer. They were playing soccer, and a guy called William Webb Ellis picked up the soccer ball and ran with it to the other end and put it in the goal over the line. Hence, rugby was born. So, creativity is a fantastic thing, and most people second-guess themselves. They talk themselves out of things. And what a travesty that is. Instead of having an idea, writing it down, and going, let's have a go.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? You know, the worst that can happen is, well, it wasn't a massive success. But if you don't try in the first place, what's going to happen? Nothing.
Never
nothing
gonna have
at
success.
All. That's right. So by trying, you might make it successful. And having a good plan and a strategy on making things successful increases the chances even more. You know, and that's what the whole book's about. So that's what I want to do. And that's what I like.
So, yeah, I think we'll wrap it up there for today, John. So thanks for coming in. Thanks for giving us that initial explanation of what got you into it and what the book is all about. And yeah, I look forward to dissecting it a bit more, getting into some of the topics a bit further, and hopefully we'll be able to help out some people who are stuck in certain parts of success, as we say.
Exactly. Brilliant. Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you.
Speak to you next week.